This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, just to put things in perspective here, we're in the United States, or at least I am. Randall, J. Randall Murphy, our co-host, is in Calgary, Canada. And our guest this week, Paul Dean, is in Australia. Is that correct, sir?
Yes. Yes, all the way down here. I'm literally on the other side of the world.
Well, I feel that way sometimes, or I feel sometimes I'd like to be on the other side of the world.
Fair enough.
Okay. When we prepare a Paracast, we always look at the latest news to see if anything is relevant. And I don't know if this story is relevant or not, since we'll be talking more about the public information, getting the information on older sightings from governments. Freedom of information, that sort of thing. But we now learn there appears to be an underground body of water of 12 miles wide at one of the poles of Mars. Have you read about this, guys?
Yeah, Italian researchers were working with data that they had. Italian astrophysics or a space sciences team had provided the technology for radar, for surface radar mapping of Mars, and they've analysed data in a particular way that indicates that there's, well, in your language it's 12 miles wide, in our language 20 kilometres wide, and quite deep, hundreds and hundreds of yards or maybe even miles deep of water. Now, it could be an actual lake, or it could be just mud, it could be just shards of ice just grinding against each other, salty ice that's semi-liquid, but whatever it is, most water on Mars is just found at most in droplets and tiny little streams through layers of dust, and only at certain times of the year. And that this is something that was a bit unexpected, and two, where there's one lake underneath a pole, there's probably thousands of them. It'd be like saying that there's only one canyon in the world, the Grand Canyon, and then there's no other canyons. It's basically impossible. It'd defy planetary science. There could be trillions and trillions of litres of water right underneath the surface of Mars. Not surprising at all. It could even be a bit warm through friction and any volcanic or sort of gaseous activity through very, very slow plate tectonics, a little bit of radioactivity. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I was thinking here about pop culture. And, of course, in the old Flash Gordon movie serial from 1930s, they had clay people on the planet Mongo, and maybe now there are mud people on Mars. We go down there to look at the water, and we'll see mud people.
Look, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, it's anything's possible. Their planet is radically different than ours now. What's probably likely is if there's anything alive down there, or if there was anything recently alive, it's going to be truly microbial. Maybe right up to something like worms or certain types of reproducing insects or something. And who knows, maybe there is cyanide life down there. Maybe there is a city. I don't know. It's going to be a long time before we find out.
The mud people on Mars. Are there really mud people? Strange how it kind of comes to us. This is a lousy pun, folks. It comes to us in little drops. Okay, little drops. We learn more and more about the potential for some kind of life on Mars. And the question would be here, as the planet's surface conditions became worse, could they have formed an artificial shelter of some sort and beneath the surface of Mars?
Well, it's possible. Humans have gone on to adapt to things like changing climates and ice ages and the discovery of minerals and the wax and wane of the weather systems and the perfection of agriculture and developed machinery for war. Why not? I mean, creatures adapt creatures adapt to changing environments, providing the environment just doesn't change too quickly. When you've got something like a meteorite impact, where the planet's surface or air changes very rapidly, well, living organisms can't really adapt. But when you've got slow changes over time, it's probably very easy for robust life to adapt. I don't know. Yeah, certainly possible.
Well, we're learning more about the universe than we even expected. Mud people from Mars, ladies and gentlemen. No, wasn't saying that. Paul Dean, tell us about your background. What got you involved in your particular area of looking into the UFO mystery?
Well, there was a few things that when I was young, look, I've got a fairly scientific mind, a good technical mind. But when I was quite young, I started studying, I guess I started reading books in primary school, and there was always books, you know, like on unsolved mysteries, or you'd have books with titles like UFOs and Other Mysteries, or Ghosts, Aliens and Vampires, or whatever. And something jumped out at me very early on. You read this stuff, and the one thing that jumped out at me was that things like, say, werewolves or vampires or freak religious events, they seem to be more folklore or culturally based or anecdotal, but the UFO topic was quite different because it just seemed to be happening in modern times. One, it was two, concerning authorities. I mean, even in the most basic children's book on UFOs, you will find reference to government studies like Sign and Grudge and Blue Book. You will find reference to qualified combat pilots being scared out of their wits by unknown or very unfamiliar objects around their aircraft, etc. And I thought any of these topics, any of these oddball or sort of unsolved or unappraised topics are real, this UFO thing could be the one. And so years went on, and when I was also quite young, my father was in the army, and in the Australian Army, and he actually recounted a sighting he had to me when I was about 13. The sighting had happened before I was born. He was driving alone. And the long and the short of it is that he was followed by something airborne. And it was absolutely silent, but it was very, very bright. It couldn't have been a helicopter. He's absolutely sure of that. He never solved it. And the other thing that influenced me quite a lot was in Australia, probably Australia's most famous case happened off the coastline, actually, where I live. I live in the city of Melbourne. And in October 1978, a pilot in a small aircraft, a small Cessna, his name was Frederick Balentik. He took off from Moorabbin Airport, which is a regional suburban neighbourhood airport. He took off and he went over the coastline, and he was in radio communication with our big international airport. And the weather was clear. He was following a general flight plan. He was actually heading towards an island to pick up seafood and come home by sort of maybe 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. His takeoff and his plane's mechanical history, etc., was clean, nothing unusual. He was never seen again. What happened was he ended his days on Earth apparently with a 12-minute radio conversation with Melbourne Airport, and in that conversation, there was other traffic up there, as there was other aircraft having conversations over the radio, but his segments, the pilot Valentic is complaining of being encircled or being harassed by a cigar-shaped object with multiple lights on it. His final words were, "The aircraft is orbiting on top of me again. It's hovering and it's not an aircraft." And he was never seen again. So this happened before I was born, but it was often featured on TV shows, and it was sometimes featured on the news, you know, at 10-year anniversaries and then 15-year anniversaries of his disappearance. And so Melbourne's got this. This is one of Melbourne's big links to the UFO mystery.
This is going to be one of the famous Paracast cliffhangers, where you'll have to listen to some pieces of business for a few minutes before we return. Or, of course, you can subscribe to the Paracast Plus and not have to listen to any of those network commercials. We got more with Paul Dean and J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, in truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
J. Randall Murphy is our co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. Paul Dean joins us. He's talking about one of the more important cases in Australia. Can we continue on that score for a little bit, and then we'll move on to other topics? Go ahead, please, Paul.
Yeah, sure. The case was, it was interesting because the air authorities, it was the Bureau of Air Safety, they were sort of under some pressure. I mean, it's not unusual back then for a Cessna, a small plane to go missing in Australia, just like it probably isn't now. I mean, it just happens every now and again. But at first, no one in the press or realised that there was this UFO connection, but within days, the Bureau of Air Safety admitted that there was a possible another craft up there or that the incident was particularly unusual. And, of course, they weren't finding any plane. There was no wreckage. There was no body. And the Marine Search Authorities tried, and the conditions were good enough that they should have been able to find something eventually, but they never did. When the transcript of what Frederick Valentik was saying over the radio to Flight Services Air Traffic Controller Steve Robey, this 12 minutes of conversation, when it hit the papers, it was featured all over the world. I mean, if you read the transcript in full, it's quite confronting. He never once says the word flying saucer or UFO. He doesn't call it that. He says aircraft or craft. He doesn't appear to be highly stressed. It's more of a simple conversation. And then he vanished. And it was terrible for the family, the Valentik family, because their son completely goes missing. There's all this media furor. Rumours started up. There was rumours of cover-up and then denials of cover-up. And then there was, the one-year anniversary, and it's never been really solved. So I knew about this case from quite a young age. And so that was sort of my introduction to the UFO matter. Now, as the years went on, I was reading books, very, not just the average junk cults or potboiler book on UFOs. I mean, I was reading some fairly scholarly works and some of the highly skeptical works. I mean, to read, say, the work of Hall or Greenwood and Fawcett or Belay or Hynek, you can't do that without also reading the work of, say, Philip Klass or some of the... I also believe to be a serious researcher, you've got to be reading about military history, intelligence community history, and particularly about weather, atmospheric physics, general, even pick up a book about what goes on at an airport. It's important. But I got a crash course over many years in the UFO controversy by reading the more scholarly or foundational materials. I mean, anything that's got 1,000 footnotes in it, like, say, for better or for worse, Dolan's first book is a very good introduction to, particularly the first half of it, a very good overview, particularly of the United States' government and military response to the UFO topic. And any book that's got 500 to 1,000 footnotes is worth reading and worth checking out those footnotes, and that's what I did. A lot of people don't do that. Eddie Bullard's recent book is incredible for footnotes. You've got to be all over everything, and you've got to be an archivist. You've got to save everything you read. And, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in the ETH, the extraterrestrial hypothesis. I probably never have. But I do believe that, I mean, the statistics, there is a certain percentage of cases that is extremely difficult to solve, no matter how much data or information we have on any given unknown or unsolvable case. There's been significant government concern, even panic at times. There is, governments have maintained policies and procedures for UFO reporting, for UFO investigation, for the collation and classification of information. Lies have been told, misinformation has been offered to everyone from congressmen to ministers. It's suspicious. And so it's worth studying. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided instead of just studying the topic passively, I would draw on everything I'd learned and start actually being an aggressor, actually trying to find out new information, learn to submit freedom of information requests, learn to correspond with ministers and congressmen, learn to talk like an air traffic controller, or at least, think like an air traffic controller, that sort of thing. So that's basically how it all started for me.
Okay, just a couple of things to bring in mind here. As you probably know, Kevin D. Randall, in his blog, he is doing Chasing Footnotes, where he goes and looks back at a lot of these important things, a lot of these important cases, to see where they started, not necessarily to change our conclusions, but to see where they started to get the accurate information. Now, in case of looking over things of the past, you did something that interests me, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
And this is based on a blog you posted at UFOs Documenting the Evidence at blogspot.com. And it was posted on Wednesday, the 13th of June. I would have hoped it would be Friday, the 13th, because of the subject of it. Okay, so this guy doesn't do a lot of interviews, but some months back, we got the one, the only Richard C. Doty to appear on the PowerCast, and we were left in a position there where what he said, is this accurate? Is it not accurate? Is there spin control? Probably it was a mixture of everything. Now, you went ahead and did some Freedom of Information requests to find out who the heck is Richard C. Doty, Richard Charles Doty. And I'm looking here, you've got his DD-214, which is the Certificate of Release or Discharge from Active Duty that's very important to have to see what a military person really did. You've got a whole bunch of information here from the Air Force. You also have here what I'm looking at right now. A lot of it is Air Force stuff. And some of it's redacted, as you might expect, certain personal information. The Serviceman's Group Life Insurance Election. I mean, you got a lot of stuff here. Let me ask you here, was there a problem getting this information, or did it just come your way?
The only thing you've got a bit wrong is I didn't, this personally did not come to me as far as my work. What happened is that Richard Doty has been with the Air Force. It was with the Air Force for over 20 years. And of course, he is one of the most controversial figures, in the history of UFO law. There is little question about that. I know his story. I know the Kirkland affair, the Kirkland Air Force Base affair very well, the development of the MJ-12 story, the Paul Benowitz scandal. I study government organisational charts quite a lot, and one thing that bugged me was that I never was able to figure out, over the years, the lineage or the movement of Richard Doty as a sergeant through the Office of Air Force Special Investigations or associated units at Kirkland. I mean, was he with the 16th 06 Air Base Wing, or was he with the 14th 01st Security Police Squadron, or was he with whatever? And so I already had a few pages of very, very, very sanitized Richard C. Doty service records, which were almost useless. And we all got them, awards he was medaled and given and so on. And so I asked that there's a few people that have written books on Doty's early involvement in the UFO topic, and one of them is called X Descending by Christian Lambright.
Let's go into that, because we did have him on the show in our next segment with Paul Dean about Richard Doty, Richard Doty. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Patrick Colbeck, and I'm running for governor. Michigan auto insurance rates are almost twice the national average. We need to lower costs, but at the same time, we need to protect the lifetime benefits for those who are injured. Using my engineering problem-solving know-how, I have found a way to lower costs by a minimum of 40% while still retaining lifetime benefits. Do you realize that 58% of my own insurance premium is due to state mandates? If we eliminate those mandates, our insurance rates can be lowered to near the national average. Principal solutions prioritize your best interests, not lobbyists. Paid for by Patrick Colbeck for governor.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Firefighters continue to fight the fast-moving car fire in Redding, California. CAL FIRE Incident Commander Brent Gouveia says they're using every tool they can.
We are currently utilizing the National Guard, and they're coming in to help us in all facets of this incident, from support to fire suppression.
A shelter for people displaced by the massive blaze has reached full capacity as authorities order more evacuations. KOVR photojournalist Dave Grashoff says the devastation goes on and on.
I can see burned out garages. There's a car that used to be in the garage that's completely burned out. I see some standing washers and dryers. It looks like some refrigerators that are completely melted to the ground. I see some pillars that are standing here. I see some old bed frames that probably once had mattresses on them.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Trying to make it mysterious because Richard Doty is Richard Doty. So you mentioned the Christian Lambright's book. And that also was interesting because we had him on in relation to the work of Ray Stanford. So, Paul Dean, please continue.
Yes, yeah, so I spoke to Christian Lambright and a few others. I spoke to Mark Pinkleton and Greg Bishop as well, and I asked them all, do we actually know for a fact, was Doty with the Office of Air Force Special Investigations Headquarters detachment at Kirkland Air Force Base, or was he with an airbase wing for Kirkland or whatever in those days? And none of us could find, we had a problem with actually finding any truly foundational pieces of records for Doty's service history. Anyway, Christian Lambright pointed me in the right direction. He had forgotten this, but he pointed me in the direction of an old Freedom of Information request that a guy called Larry Bryant was a fairly formidable FOI requester and government hounder in the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
And we got hold, it's a long story, but we got hold of some Larry Bryant files, and I couldn't believe it. We got hold of a PDF, essentially, which was 30 pages, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I opened the first one. It's a whole bunch of documentation. The first few pages are letters between Larry Bryant and the United States Air Force. And the first one I open is dated 27th of September, 1988. And it says, your 8th of September, 1988, Freedom of Information request was received in my office, blah, blah, blah. And the sanitized records requested are releasable under the Freedom of Information Act, and copies are attached. So with that, there was nearly 30 pages of Doty's service records, and they include qualification badges in accordance with various Air Force regulations awarded to Doty as early as 1978. His records include everything from his ability to prepare food through to his non-commissioned officer promotions to his tickets in law enforcement and patrolling. Yeah, so, I mean, there was just a mix of records.
We also have, on the October 24th, 2010 episode with Chris O'Brien and me, Larry Bryant. So if you want to go back there, October 24th, 2010... we were talking about a book called UFO Politics at the White House, Citizens Rally Around Jimmy Carter's Promise. And that book page, unfortunately, is from Goldie Press. That's a woman from Fate magazine. It's no longer available. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe the book is no longer available either. We'll have to see. In the meantime, I urge you to listen to that episode. So let's hear more about the documents that Larry had.
One thing that was important, many people had wondered, when did Richard Doty truly leave the Air Force or officially leave the Air Force? And one document that was important, I felt, was, or one page was important, was it simply had a Department of the Air Force, Washington. It's almost like a telex. It's like a fax. It just says special orders, Master Sergeant Richard Doty Charles, Kirkland Air Force Base, 15th of January, 88. And it says, effective 30 September, 88, you are relieved from active duty, organization and station of assignment, retired effective on the 1st of October, 88, as per Air Force Regulation 35-7, in grade of Master Sergeant and assigned to Retired Reserve until 17th of September, 1998. Highest grade held on active duty was Master Sergeant. His date of birth is listed as 15th of February, 1950. And so there you have it. We finally found out when he left the Air Force, and that was released by the order of the Secretary of the Air Force, and was signed off by Colonel William O. Nations, who was the Director of Information Management and Administration for the U.S. Air Force's plans and personnel area.
So, now let me ask something before you go on. Okay, we assume then he just retired. He wasn't thrown out.
No, well, the rumors have been, it doesn't actually say he, I mean, this particular page, it doesn't actually mention anything about, say, dishonorable discharge or a court martial or a criminal hearing or honorable discharge or whatever. It doesn't mention that. And I believe, for instance, I would suspect that he was discharged with no problems because he certainly held a security clearance right up to the end of his days. Now, possibly if he had been booted out of the Air Force or recommended to be booted out of the Air Force, I'm not sure he would have held a secret clearance, particularly with the Office of Air Force Special Investigations, right till the end. I don't know, though. I mean, I'm not a plans and personnel or a human resources person within your Air Force. Who knows what goes on? We're assuming, looking at this, that he wasn't kicked out or say demanded to go. I don't know. We know that he was, for instance, with verbal orders in August 1984. He was. I'm just reading this. He was promoted at one point in 1984, and he's listed here as Doty Richard Charles with Detachment 4, 1406. He was with them for quite a while.
Do we know what
that was? A security. I think Detachment 1406 was a security police squadron at Kirkland Air Force Base. They would do criminal investigations and counter security operations, right down to things like drug testing and alcohol testing on base, working with the FBI on any sort of external threats to the base, developing policy, like local policy for commanders to handle maybe terrorist action. Because, I mean, Kirkland was right near a nuclear weapons dump. I mean, the Monsanto weapons facility and Sandia laboratory worked with the mothballing and warm alert storage of nuclear weapons, of nuclear bombs. This is not a muck around base.
Well, so the point is, here he's a cop.
Yeah, glorified. Certainly some of it a glorified cop, but I do note that he did counterintelligence. Like, he did intelligence courses. I'm not saying he did a 4-year PhD, but he did do information, or what do you call it, information tickets, courses in intelligence and counter security. So certainly a cop of sorts. Yeah.
A cop of sorts. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, he was with the Office of Air Force Special Investigations, let's not forget. I mean, the term is Special Investigations with the United States Air Force, and he was at one of the most sensitive bases in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. Aside from that, before that, in the late 70s, he was at Ellsworth Air Force Base, and they had at the time bombers that were nuclear capable. So there's no doubt that he was also in the top 1% of tested non-commissioned officers as far as aptitude and so on. So we're not talking about someone who was simply a security guard at the edge of the base looking for people lighting fires or stealing stuff. He was more than that.
So he was a real special investigator. He was the real article. This guy is not a fake. He evidently retired. Retired in a normal way, as anyone would retire after, 20 years or whatever it was?
Yeah, 20 years.
Okay, so he did his 20 for God and country, and he retired. And apparently he was a good guy. We regard him now as kind of a wacko. So I wonder about the disconnect. How does someone with apparently a positive record, distinguished, I don't know, but a positive record in the military become a possible UFO field wacko? Or is he still working for the Air Force? Aha.
We don't know. I do know one thing. It was a bit of a surprise to me, but it appears. So, okay, the United States Air Force has its Office of Air Force Special Investigation, which is fine, and the Navy has its own police and criminal and security investigative force, as does the Army.
Of course, with the Navy, it's NCIS because they have all those TV shows about them, which are, by the way, based on the real service because they've got an NCIS special agent over there. Kind of looking and kind of sort of trying to get rid of the excesses, dramatic excesses. In any case, we've got Paul Dean. We're talking about his work, locating freedom of information on UFOs and people, and we're talking about Richard Doty. I'm Gene. He's Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We'll get back to Richard Doty. Who or what is he there? What's he doing? Is he still an agent or what? Well, I remind you about the Paracast Plus. At plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, we offer this show free of the network ads, so the people on YouTube wouldn't be able to complain. Of course, I mention it on YouTube and on the show, and they don't listen. I think they're just, you know, trolling. In any case, you also get the After the Paracast podcast and surprises, more stuff coming. Go to plus.theparacast.com for more information. Also, we are overhauling our official Paracast store. And what I'm saying here is we have a lot of fabulous new T-shirts and stuff that we'll be offering in thousands of colors and sizes and everything at modest prices coming soon to the official Paracast store. Totally new environment. You'll love it. You might even love it more on the show, but we don't want to say that. Paul Dean, UFO investigator from Australia, specializing in getting that information that the governments are trying to keep secret. So I asked you a question, Paul, before we broke there for a piece of business. Master Sergeant Doty, now retired. Or is he retired? And is all this wacky stuff he produces when you interview him, is that all something that he's doing for disinformation? That he's being told to do that?
Well, look, Occam's Razor, which you look for the simplest answer in a complex world, says that, I mean, there's every chance that he was, from early on, he just happened to be a good serviceman in an intelligence and security and law enforcement role with the Air Force, and he happened to have an interest in the UFO topic. He was involved in some genuine UFO events, all the reporting of some genuine UFO events by coincidence, and he was influenced by the UFO field in general, which was pretty incredible in the late 70s. You had extraordinary numbers of UFO documents coming out. through a Barry Greenwood, Robert Todd, Lawrence Fawcett, Todd Zeckel, etc. You had the rumours of Roswell starting up. You had the Cash Lundrum affair was just about to happen. And all of a sudden, you've possibly, I'm just speculating, you've got this airman who is interested in the topic and takes it a bit too far, starts engaging with UFO folk like Bill Moore or Bob Pratt, possibly Lee Graham, and starts making up stories, invites Linda Moulton Howe into his office and so on. That's the easy way out. But the more difficult way out is that someone within the Air Force, it could have been someone by the name of Brigadier General William Brookshire. It could have been someone by the name of Colonel Barry Hennessy. All these people were important. They've been linked with the UFO topic while being with the Air Force, and they're linked to Doty, as in that they were his direct boss or indirect boss. Was there a deliberate disinformation, misinformation, muddy-the-waters, time-wasting type of effort, and Doty was the guy that was given the job of pulling it off and pulling it off for a long time? The fact of the matter is we just don't know. The one thing that does point oddly in that direction is this, and I was quite surprised at this. I was saying before that the Air Force and the Navy and the Army have their own information, disinformation, intelligence and counterintelligence forces. FOS is for the Air Force, NCIS, whatever it is for the Navy and so on. Now, the CIA, your Central Intelligence Agency, is very, very different. They operate in the field all over the world. They're spies. They run diplomatic missions. They listen in on meetings. They cultivate contacts at embassies and so on. They help the eavesdropping efforts of the NSA and so on. But I do know that the CIA have some files on Doty. Now, whether they're about Doty or they're by Doty or they're for Doty, but I do know almost for an absolute fact that the Central Intelligence Agency, as of 2006, have files because they admitted it. I've got a letter from the CIA to someone, and right in the middle it says that files or records about, to, from, or on, or written by Doty, doesn't say that, it just says files related to Richard Charles Doty, are classified under privacy laws and thus not available. So either they are simply something very, very basic, like the CIA collected, say, early chapters of books on Doty or newspaper articles around Kirkland, or they are something much more significant. Maybe Doty was with the CIA after he was with Afosi at Kirkland. Maybe he was a CIA field investigator on loan to the CIA from the Air Force. Maybe he was an interagency officer for the Air Force with the CIA when he was in Germany briefly. I just don't know. But it was certainly something I didn't expect. If you go down the path that Doty was just a UFO enthusiast who happened to be in the Air Force, I am quite surprised then that he has. I mean, the CIA, this is in 2006. We know as of 2006 that the CIA were admitting that they at least had some material on Doty, as I've said. And so to keep that for that long, it might be quite important material. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Well, certainly he was an interesting guest, very good guest, very smart guest. But, of course, when you looked at what he said, a lot of it was questionable. You heard the episode, didn't you, Randall?
Oh, yeah. I was definitely there for that one.
Right.
Yeah.
He talked about Roswell, but then things he heard, not necessarily things he personally investigated or realized.
Well, this could actually segue kind of into a couple of other issues that you might be able to help us out with here, Paul. So when we were interviewing Doty, he said that there were literally hundreds of agents stationed around the world in different places that were tasked with checking out UFO report. And, of course, that would include Australia. So I'm wondering, yep, have you run across anything like that down there, and especially in connection with the JDFPG down there?
The JDFPG, isn't that – that's the joint defense – you mean Pine Gap?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, JDF Peter. I know that. Oh, it's lost me. Okay. Look, Doty, okay, this is my personal take after studying the topic for so long. It is conceivably possible that, that Air Force security, Air Force intelligence, and Air Force operational officers and servicemen around the world do study, look at, collate, and keep their eye on UFO reports, UFO sightings, any discussion of UFOs in local or national medias, at embassies. As a full-time job, I doubt it. The idea that say every defense attaché, every second or third defense attaché for the United States in the world, or every major base in the world from Australia to the Philippines to England has Air Force officers who are full-time studying the UFO topic, at the most it would be done at headquarters in Washington or somewhere like Bowling Air Force Base or at NORAD in Colorado. But I mean, it is possible that certainly there could be a very large number of airmen whose part-time duty, just occasionally, is to look at UFO reports from the point of view that, of course, the United States Air Force, particularly someone like the NASIC, which is the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, that has offices all over the world, of course they are interested in UFOs or UFO reports from the point of view that UFOs can be at very advanced and new, say, cruise missiles or fracturing orbital bombardment weapons, unusual satellite launches, and so on. I mean, the number of times that the ex-Soviet Union, Russia, has launched long or medium range ballistic missiles that have been reported as bona fide UFO events is astounding. And but yeah, as for Australia, as far as our officers looking at UFO reports, say as they come through the news or come through intelligence channels, I've never seen a link back to the United States, not since the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yep. Can I just interject there? I'd like to get some of your comments on the Pine Gap facility there, because that's down there where you are. And are you able to get any information out of your government or the U.S. government on what goes on there? Because that's really kind of like Australia's Area 51 down there. There's some pretty weird stuff that's gone on there.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's hold the answer to our next segment. We're featuring Paul Dean, direct from his palatial estate in Melbourne, Australia, or I don't know what it is. Gene Steinberg from his shack. And we don't want to do this. J. Randall Murphy is our co-host this week. We've got lots more excitement for the remaining two-thirds of the show. With Gene and with Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols
of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.